Few things are more devastating to hear than being told that you have a life-threatening illness. Maybe you've been told that you've got cancer or some other overwhelming disease. You know, life really does change in an instant with this kind of news. Welcome to Through the Bible. Now, we're studying Isaiah 38 today, where King Hezekiah was told that he was going to die. At the same time, Jerusalem was experiencing a life-threatening attack from Assyria, a storm within and a storm without. How does a godly person persevere through this kind of stress? Well, we'll find out in just a few moments. And just so that you understand, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, knows of what he speaks. He's going to be sharing his own experience with cancer when he was given only 3 months to live. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus as we continue this exciting five-year journey through God's entire Word. Now, as you find your seat and your place in God's Word, here's an inspiring letter. This is from a listener in Vancouver, Canada, after she was diagnosed with late-stage cancer. She writes to us, "The Lord is good to me to give me a word of hope through this program as I walk this unexpected road. Recently, while the Bible bus journeyed through the Psalms, Dr. McGee read these verses I knew the Lord intended for me. Psalm 77, verse 19 and 20. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock." My medical situation is like a personal version of the Israelites' escape from Egypt, in that when they got to the end of the road, in a seemingly impossible scenario, God made a way, or rode through the waters. No one but God could have come up with a solution like that. I am reminded that the God I love found a pathway no one knew was there. As I fight this illness, I don't know what my pathway is, but I know He is great at making paths for all of us. That's a great comfort for me, and I hope it is for you too. God bless you through the Bible for sharing God's Word. Has the Lord used through the Bible to show you a pathway no one knew was there? If you've been blessed by God's Word heard here, would you write and tell us your story? As we've mentioned before, May is Letter Month, and we want to hear from you. And our hope is that when you hear other stories like this one from our sister in Canada, that you would be able to pray for each other and praise God that His Word touches so many lives through this teaching. You can send your note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1, or email biblebus@ttb.org. Let's pray for and with one another now. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting us in our moment of need and then giving us hope in your word. We pray for those listening who are facing the greatest challenges of their lives. Thank you, Lord, for sustaining them in your mercy and grace. And we ask that you would use your word now in our lives as we walk with you in the storm. Thank you for Jesus, in whose name we always pray. Amen. Here's our study of Isaiah 38 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we're in this prophetic book of Isaiah. We are now in the part that is more or less the Grand Canyon, the Great Divide in the book, and that is this historical section that began with chapter 36. It will go through chapter 39. On the side that we have been looking at from chapter 1 through 35, the subject has been government. And when we get to the other side, it'll be the sunny side of the mountain, not the dark side, and it will be the grace of God. But wedged in here, it's a very important section that we've looked at. And as we've said, the history here is a little different than the history of man, our secular history today, because we have here in this section something that is miraculous, that's recorded. We have the death angel that slew 185 Assyrians, and that was in chapter 37, 36 through 38, the last part of that. And now we come in chapter 38 to the sickness of Hezekiah the king and his prayer and his healing. And we saw last time as we just opened this chapter that it was not in that day, which would be in the Great Tribulation or the Millennium, but it's in those days, and that was the days of Hezekiah. And so I read verse 1, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, the sentence of death is given to Hezekiah by Isaiah the prophet. And the sentence of death, of course, I think today rests upon each one of us, although we do not know the day nor the hour. But we know this, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then after death the judgment. Now, this is a divine date. And I'm sure that if each one of you listening in today knew the exact time, why, it would change your way of living. Your lifestyle would be changed. I had a letter several years ago from a young minister, and the doctor told him he had cancer and that it was terminal. And he sent out a letter to his friends, and he included me in it. He said in that letter, among other things, "One thing I've discovered in the last few days, when a Christian is suddenly confronted with a sentence of death, he surely begins to give a proper evaluation of material things. My fishing gear and books and orchard are not nearly so valuable as they were a week ago." That's the end of the quote. I conducted the funeral of that fine young preacher. May I say that after that, I had the experience of having cancer and having my family doctor at that time tell me that he frankly thought I only had 3 more months to live. Well, God had other plans for which I'm indeed grateful. I thank him and praise him every opportunity I get, and this is one of them. But I know what it is in that brief moment to face up to it. And it is amazing. I can bear witness to the accuracy of this man's statement. It was amazing to me how certain things became very unimportant. Certain things, my home was one thing. I'll be honest with you, I thought I wouldn't be living in it but just a few more weeks, and therefore it was very unimportant. And where you're going becomes very important, by the way. Now, what did this man Hezekiah do? And I'd like to pinpoint this in the life of Hezekiah because it's also quite revealing to know that. We're told that it was in those days. Well, let's identify the exact time that he had this boil and a death sentence was delivered to him. Well, it was during the siege of Jerusalem by the Assyrians. He had trouble on the outside, trouble on the inside. Now, somebody says, how do you know that? Well, Hezekiah reigned 29 years, and he reigned 15 years after this event, we're told. Now, his sickness was in the 14th year of his reign. Now, we're told back in Isaiah 36:1, "Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against him." Well, that means the same year that Sennacherib, the Assyrian, came against him, he had this boil. And this man had real trouble, you see. Now, we're told here that this man goes to prayer. In verse 2, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord." We've seen him in prayer before as he spread a letter before the Lord. Now in verse 3, "And he said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore." This is a time when a man can weep, by the way. I wept. I'm sure this man whose letter I referred to wept. You're bound to at a time like that. And this man wept sore, and he prayed to God, and on the basis of his life. And in that day, under the Old Testament rule, which was the Mosaic law, this man had a good reputation before God. We're told in 2 Kings 18:5 concerning Hezekiah, "He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him." So this man stands out as an outstanding man. He's not boasting when he made that claim. Now, God heard his prayer. Verse 4, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears. Behold, I'll add unto thy days 15 years. Now, God did hear and answer his prayer. And he did it for the sake of David, we're told here, for the sake of David, thy father. Well, that's not the basis today God hears and answers our prayer. The Lord Jesus put it like this in John 16, 23 and 24. And in that day, and that's this day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, and your joy may be full. Now, we can go to God in the name of Christ today, to our Heavenly Father, with our prayer. And if it's his will, if it pleases the Lord Jesus, if it's in his name, and my friend, a prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus is not necessarily just adding a tag on the end of your prayer in Jesus' name. And however, I believe that. I think it should be there. I don't like the prayers I'm hearing today by good men who just break off. In fact, they just say amen. Somebody said the other day they couldn't get their hands folded and eyes closed when I start praying on the program. Well, when I hear these men pray, I can't open them in time. They're already doing something else. I think a prayer should be made in Jesus' name. But when you pray it in Jesus' name, it means thy will be done. It means that it's to please him. Sometimes he'll heal you. Sometimes he won't. He's the one. And therefore, this man here came on a little different basis. Now God said to him something else that we can understand when we know the time. Verse 6, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I'll defend this city. Now God ties in his deliverance of Jerusalem from the Assyrian with Hezekiah's deliverance from death. In other words, his answer to one request will encourage the believer's heart that he'll answer the other requests. And that is wonderful. I'll be honest with you, I've been greatly strengthened in my own faith since God heard and answered your prayer, many of you out there that prayed for us. Now, God gave him a sign in that day. He'd bring the shadow of the degrees back on the sundial. Now, I don't have time to go into this. The word here that's translated sundial can mean steps. And it's so translated by Dr. Jennings, he says, behold, I'll cause the shadow of the steps to return, which has gone down in the steps of Ahaz with the sun, backward 10 steps, and the sun returned 10 steps by the steps which it had gone down. I can't go into detail, but apparently the sundial in that day was a great big thing, not just a small one on top of a little pillar. They have one out at Dodge City, Kansas, there at the railroad station. On one side, it's a big one, and the sun does shine on it. And I think the sundial of Ahaz was a big one made in the form of steps because that's the way they did it in that day. Apparently, it went up to the point, and as the sun came up, it would come up one side of the steps, go down the other side of the steps. Apparently, they made it like that, and that was the way they could tell time. Now, this was 45 minutes. God would back it up. Now, when did God ever back up time before? Well, that was in the days of Joshua, and there are those that have found out that there was 45 minutes lacking on that day. So God just evened it off here and at the same time gave this man a sign. Now, this was something that this man did. He wrote a psalm at that time. Many believe that he composed Psalm 116. And here you have a period of praise, and evidently this here, and I'm not reading it today, was set to music. And the question now sometimes arises, was Hezekiah right in asking God to extend his life? And he says here in verse 20, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we'll sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Now, Actually, we're told in 2 Chronicles 32:25 that at this time there was a great welling up of praise in his heart to God, and he had this song sung. But apparently, after this, why, he became rather proud and arrogant, and we're told in 2 Chronicles 32:25, which, by the way, gives you God's viewpoint, it says, "But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem." Now, here is an evidence of the fact that maybe he should not have asked for an extension. It led to pride in this man's life, and he was raised up, you see. Well, it ought to humble you. When I went to the Lord on this matter, I remembered this story. And I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, if you let me live, I'll promise to do your will. And I'll keep just getting out your word. I won't retire in the sense of stop giving out the word." And very frankly, that's the reason I overextended myself in conferences and everything. I wasn't going to let the Lord down. And then I think he's made it pretty clear to me, don't kill yourself now after I've extended your life by overdoing it. And so I'm trying to be reasonable today. At least I think I am. Wife's not quite sure I'm being reasonable yet. But the interesting thing is here, there is a grave danger of you getting away from God after a wonderful experience like this. Some people say, well, it ought to draw you closer. No, there's a danger of you withdrawing from the Lord. Hezekiah did. Was he right in asking God to extend his life? Should he not have died when the time came? And then we have another reason for it. Manasseh, his son, was 12 years old when he began to reign, and his life was extended 15 years. So Manasseh was born after the sickness. Now, what about Manasseh? Well, Manasseh just happens to be the worst king that either kingdom ever had. I consider Manasseh worse than Ahab and Jezebel put together. And I think it's during his reign that the Shekinah glory departed. Because if it didn't depart during his reign, I can't think of any reason it would depart afterward. He is one that is very much like Antichrist, the man of sin that's yet to come. Now, he was the son of Hezekiah born after this. And then, in this next chapter, we'll see another reason, and that is this man Hezekiah, after he was raised up, played the fool. And we'll see that in just a moment. Now, did God do this miraculously by just saying hocus pocus and have Isaiah, you know, pray over him and then old Hezekiah fell backwards, or that he put his hand on him pretty hard? No, he didn't do that. Notice what Isaiah said to do, verse 21. For Isaiah had said, "Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, he shall recover." In other words, there are two things that James said. James says, call the elders to come and anoint him with oil. And that anointing there is not religious, not ceremonial. That is oil for healing, by the way. That's medicinal. And then it says, pray for him. So that what God said through Isaiah and what he said through James is the same. He says, the thing that you do when you get sick is pray and call for the doctor. That's the thing you're to do. Be sensible. Now, chapter 39. We have here then that Hezekiah plays the fool, and that's the way I've labeled this. And there's a tremendous thing that takes place here, the transfer of power from Assyria and out of Babylon. We'll see that. Verse 1. At that time, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he'd heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And this is very interesting here. Merodach actually means the rebel, and Baladan means not the Lord. And his full name means, therefore, the rebel, not the Lord. And back of this king, of course, is Nimrod, the founder of Babylon, and Satan, who is the real rebel against God. He's the god of this world. And this man now comes with flattery. These ambassadors that were sent over, they brought a letter, and they flattered Hezekiah. They said, "Why, the king of Babylon's been concerned about you. And so he's sending over a gift to rejoice." And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, all the house of his armor, all that was found in his treasures. Now, this man at this time, you see, had not lost very many of the riches that Solomon and David had gathered. And we're told in 2 Chronicles 32, 27, 28, and Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor. He made himself treasures of silver and gold, for precious stone, spices, for shields, and for all manner of pleasant jewels, storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and coats for flocks. Now, what you have here is something quite interesting. This man, Hezekiah, now receives the embassage that's come from Babylon. They flatter him. King's glad you got well. Here's a gift for you, and here's a letter from him. Get well card. And instead of taking this letter and opening it before the Lord like he did the one from Assyria, he put this aside, and he received these, and they flattered him. And so he thought, well, I'll just show them around. And he gave them the VP treatment, and he gave them the tour of the grounds of Jerusalem. And actually, Solomon had cornered the gold in the world in that day. He'd cornered the market and quite a few other things. And it was there, stored away in Jerusalem. And this man, Hezekiah, foolishly showed it to this embassage. They made note of it, and they went back to Babylon. They said to the king, when you get strong enough, we know where you could get all the money, all the gold and the silver and the jewels you'll need to carry on war, stored away over there in Jerusalem. And he made a big mistake, because Isaiah heard what was happening. And in verse 3, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? From whence came they unto thee? Hezekiah said, they're come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. He says, isn't that wonderful? But that's not what this man Isaiah said. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, verse 5, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that's in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried away to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. This man played the fool, you see. He should never have done this. And this man Hezekiah said, when will this take place? Isaiah said, won't take place in your day. And then this man Hezekiah says a strange thing. He says, well, I'm glad it won't take place in my day. But what about his son and his grandson and his great-grandson? For it did take place in their day, by the way. This was literally fulfilled. Hezekiah, his life was extended 15 years. Was it good? No, it was not good. He played the fool. Three terrible things took place during those 15 years. All right, we'll have to leave off there, but we begin a brand new section. Next time, the section of salvation. We go from judgment to salvation. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What can we learn from Hezekiah's story? Maybe that the sin of pride and lack of faith in God never ends well. It was true for his day, and it's true for ours as well. Now, if you want to learn how God fulfilled all he proclaimed to Hezekiah, you can dig into the same story told from different perspectives in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. Also, I want to remind you that Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for each book that we study are available in your app or in a digital book called Briefing the Bible. You can download yours for free over at ttb.org/briefing, or you can use the form there to request an abridged print version be sent to you. And if you'd rather request it by phone, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Of course, it's always best to follow along with Dr. McGee with your Bible open. And to get your own copy of a reading schedule bookmark, you can visit ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE and ask to be on our newsletter mailing list so that you'll get it in the mail on a regular basis. And as always, when you're in touch, be sure to tell us how you listen to Through the Bible. Is it by app, online, Alexa, YouTube, your favorite radio station? As you know, there's so many different options. You know, by sharing this little bit of information, you help us to be good stewards of the resources that God has so faithfully provided by friends like you all over the world. So thanks in advance for your help. Well, that's all for this time. Be sure to join the Bible bus that comes around your corner next time. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
Jesus made it home. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Today's study is always available, free to stream or download, thanks to the generous and faithful investments from your fellow Bible bus travelers. Just go to ttb.org or download our app to listen again anytime. As always, we'd love to know what's God teaching you.